Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we are so lucky to have Pastor Calland with us today. And if you know Pastor Calland, he just kind of has a great effect on people. And one of his great effects is he loves to do this with our confirmation students. And I'm going to do it with you. Don't look at your bulletins, but I've got a dollar for anybody who can answer this question. Name the... Nate Hatzing. You got it already. Okay. Name the 12 apostles. Raise your hand if you know the 12 apostles without looking at your bulletin. Nate. Oh, yeah. Go for it. I'll give it. I have to look at my... Okay. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. I'll give you that. That's good. Amen to that. Good job, Nate Hatzing. You are very right about that. He is a saint. So I looked up this morning what's a mnemonic device to learn these things, and I don't know how you'll remember this, but everywhere, all I could see was I Googled it, and they said PBJ stamp. So I'm thinking PBJ, and then the word stamp. I don't know what that has to do with anything. But we're going to go Peter, P for Peter, B, Bartholomew, J, there are five J's. Okay, five J's. Can you name all five? Yeah, I'm hearing, so James the Greater, James the Lesser, John, Judas Iscariot, Judas, son of James. Did I list five? I've got it connected. Okay, good. There we go. S. What's an S? Simon. T. Thaddeus, actually. But good try. But no, actually, Thomas is one. So you're right. I think that I took this wrong. Don't believe Google. Oh my goodness. A, Andrew. M, Matthew. And P, Philip. Okay, so this is before Judas has died. This is the original 12. But today we hear a story of the early church as they transition to the next. From the mount called Olivet, as you heard in the story, which our church is named after this, the disciples return to Jerusalem. They're down one apostle. They're down Judas. They are missing Jesus after the ascension, and they're trying to figure out how to live life in the kingdom of God, to bring forth the kingdom in new ways. And first on their agenda is to find an apostle to fill that empty spot. So they gather in the upper room, and Jesus' disciples pray and reflect on Scripture when Peter stands up and gives the speech. And he says, "Friends, the Scripture has to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let another take his position of overseer.'" So this assembly proposes two names, Matthias and Justus, or he has another name in the thing too, I don't want to confuse you, but, and they pray about it, saying, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these you have chosen." Choosing a new apostle fulfills Scripture. It maintains that 12 apostles will parallel the 12 tribes of Israel. And so the current apostles, plus all of the disciples gathered in this room, are faced with a difficult choice. And making difficult choices has been and will continue to be hard and part of the call to follow Jesus at the same time. If you're anything like me, it is painful to make choices, especially if you never want to make a mistake or never want to make someone feel bad. And I was reminded of this just the other day when my kids came home with yearbooks, or one came home with a yearbook, one is on its way. And I paged through because it's the same high school that I went to when I was a kid, and I was struck with something that remained the exact same as when I was in high school, and that was the pages that were labeled best of. Best dressed, funniest, most likely to become president, most likely to be in the Olympics, best eyes, best smile. And I viscerally had this reaction, like I remembered for all the things that I wasn't chosen for. So I started wondering how it must have felt for Justus when he wasn't chosen as Jesus' next apostle. Even though Matthias was chosen by casting lots, which is essentially like drawing straws, it still doesn't feel great to not be chosen. But these emotions, I think, have more to do with our ego than what God hopes for us, because being chosen in God's kingdom is never about elevating some more than the others. God's kingdom includes all, and God loves us all the same. So Jesus makes that clear when people ask him, because people are always wondering who's greatest in the kingdom of God and who's first and who's last. And Jesus always presents a little child and says, if you're small like this, humble like this, if you're authentic like this, then you have caught the essence of the kingdom of God. Jesus essentially says, don't get caught up in the humanness of comparison or choosing one human over another, because we are all loved in God's kingdom. And the only requirement for being chosen is God's grace. God, by God's grace, has chosen us. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last. So we trust God's promise that we are all chosen and that we are called to go out and bear good fruit. But trusting that we've been called chosen is hard to believe sometimes, especially when we hear voices all the time that tell us we need to be perfect for God to accept us, to welcome us, to call me as God's servant. I know this because I think I'm a deep down perfectionist, and I've striven to be perfect in all I've done. And the truth is, I'm never really going to get rid of that tendency, probably. I still want to be perfect. And my knee-jerk reaction, as you've already heard me admit, is that this story had to be so painful for Justus, because he wasn't chosen. He wasn't thought to maybe be perfect. Somehow, Justus must have felt that he didn't meet the requirement of being an apostle. But even the text says that they prayed with the words, Lord, you know everyone's heart, so choose the one that you think is best. And for a long time, as I was reading this text, I was fixated on this purity of heart. I was thinking the requirement to be chosen for God's kingdom was just that, was that you had to be pure enough in heart for God to want you. But the truth is, none of the original apostles, nor none of us gathered here, have a heart that is pure or blameless or sinless, which tells me that the only requirement of being God's apostle or God's disciple is this: forgiveness, because we've all fallen short. Look at the first disciples, first apostles. Peter denied knowing Jesus 3 times after his arrest, and actually our whole church is built upon the rock that is called Jesus. Judas betrayed Jesus for money. Thomas doubted the resurrection until he could actually touch Jesus' hands, the wounds on his hands and his feet. The 12 as a group, they struggled to understand what Jesus was teaching in his parables and all of the good news. They doubted and feared all the time. We keep hearing, do not be afraid. We sang it in at least one of our songs today. They were hard-hearted. They were competitive. They were selfish. But Jesus chose them anyway. Jesus kept forgiving them, and Jesus kept calling them to go and share God's forgiveness with others. It's interesting, I think, that this passage is so concerned about filling that 12th apostle spot, that we're so concerned that the 12 are filled, but none of us actually remember the names of the 12, which tells me being chosen is less about making a name for ourselves and more about making an impact for God's loving and forgiving kingdom. By Jesus' death on the cross, he shows us that there is no darkness that God doesn't already know. There's no place that we can go that's outside of God's unconditional love. And there's no place that Jesus will not forgive. For Jesus chooses us despite ourselves, forgives us, and sends us to go out in the world to do just the same. Forgive others so that they would know this gift of God's unending grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.